everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Thanks for tuning in. Hope it's been a great day for you so far. Well, you may or may not know this, but millions of people live with some form of chronic pain. Think about that. Millions. So either you live with a form of chronic pain, or you no doubt know somebody, love somebody who does. And this kind of pain, even if it's a low-grade kind of fever type of pain, if you know what I mean, it takes a toll. It makes us tired. So how do we live with that kind of pain, with a chronic unrelenting pain, in a way that doesn't destroy us? My guest today has authored a great book, and the title is fantastic, Living with Pain Without Becoming One. And forward done by John Ortberg, who's joined us plenty of times on the show. Craig Selness joins us today. He will be on with me in just a moment. A couple quick announcements, but we're going to talk about, you know, just God's heart. Does God send and deliver these diseases? What do you think about that? How does he make certain promises that the pain will end? How do you navigate through these seasons of pain where it feels like there's just no relief in sight? How do you deal with well-meaning people who say the wrong thing at the wrong time? I'll get four copies of Living with Pain Without Becoming One. At any point, you can email if you want in on the drawing, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. That's livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. If you've got a question for my guest, I won't be taking calls today, but you can email me, susie@myfaithradio.com. A couple quick announcements. Right now is the time to sign up for the Live Free Challenge. And even if you're not someone who works out, even you walk, you can walk, bike, or run. And our desire is to log as many miles as we can in February to raise money to help end human trafficking. Last year we did this. We raised $50,000 that went to International Justice Mission. This year our goal is $63,000. It's a very specific number because it funds 10 rescue operations. And each rescue operation, really it all depends on how it all turns out. But IJM's top rescue operation, they were able to rescue 500 slaves. Isn't that amazing? So what we're asking you to do is use your best energies for the world's greatest needs. All you got to do is sign up. You'll get this little fundraising page. Go to livefreechallenge.org. You set your goal for the month. You post it on your social media sites and just say, hey, friends, I'm raising money to help end trafficking. I want to run this many miles or bike this many miles. Will you join me? Will you make a pledge? And it's as easy as that. And we're in it together. There's a Facebook page to encourage you along the way where you can post just your experience and just inspire each other. I hope you'll join us for the Live Free Challenge. livefreechallenge.org for more information. Also, our Northwestern Christian Writers Conference is coming up in the summer. We're letting you know about it now because there's a limited number of one-on-one appointments. We are bringing in A-list faculty, unbelievable, amazing editors, agents, experts in the field. We've got Liz Curtis Higgs and Sheila Walsh keynoting. We've got a singer-songwriter track. We've got a jumpstart track if you're brand new to writing, but you want to know what this stuff's all about. Liz Curtis Higgs will be one of the instructors of that track. We also have an advanced track, so if you're already published, you have to qualify for that one. But it is just going to be an amazing conference. But I tell you about it now because last year we sold out, had a waiting list that we actually had to cut off. So you want to get a jump start on this thing. So hop on our website. On the conference website is NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Craig Selness founded and served as senior pastor of Cornerstone Community Church in San Jose, California for 23 years. He now serves as pastor of community life for Menlo Church in San Jose. He and his wife have been married for 36 years. They have three grown children and two grandchildren. Craig, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much, Susie. Glad to be on with you.
Good to have you. And we love to start every day, Craig, talking scripture. I'm wondering if there's a verse that's been on your heart, either a life verse or just one you've been thinking about these days.
Yeah, my life verse, and it keeps coming back to me as I get a little bit older. It's a verse that my wife had inscribed on the inside of our wedding ring when we got married. It's Acts 20:24. It says, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace."
Hmm. Talk about
and
that.
It's a verse. Yeah, it's a verse that was made meaningful to me back in seminary. I went to Bethel Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, and our professors made sure that we understood that as preachers of the gospel, we were not sent out to spread good advice to people, but we were sent to spread the good news of God's grace. That there's a big difference between good advice and good news, and so I've tried to keep that in mind all through my life and my ministry. But that's the primary thing I have to share with people is the good news of God's grace.
Beautiful. Thank you for that, Craig. Well, as much as you feel comfortable, tell us about your history and your relationship with pain.
Yeah, my personal journey with pain, it had some aches and pains, of course, all throughout life and surgeries and so on. But about 7 years ago, I developed a pain in my hip that was eventually diagnosed after about a year as osteonecrosis of the hip, which meant that the blood flow to the hip had stopped, and so the bone was dying. So after one surgery to try to correct that, they decided they needed to replace the hip. And that particular surgery just did not go well. And so within a period of about 13 months, I had 5 different surgeries on that left hip and lost about 30 pounds. I'm not a big man to begin with, lost about 30 pounds during that process. But the pain, even now, 5.5 years after the last surgery, has just never gone away and caused some other pain, some nerve damage in my foot and some nerve damage in my back. And so it's something that now is just part of my life.
Hmm. And you write so honestly in your book, Living with Pain Without Becoming One, and especially when the pain got intense and you were somebody who was engaged with life and suddenly you just sort of noticed you didn't enjoy the things that you used to do. I remember you wrote about how it's like even the spiritual disciplines didn't really hold the appeal. Take us to that time and just how you realized your life was shrinking because of your pain.
Sure, and that's part of what prompted me to research and write this book, Living with Pain Without Becoming One, is because I realized I was not only becoming a pain to other people in some respects, I was really becoming a pain to myself. By that I mean I was just so disappointed that even though I'd been a follower of Jesus for so many years, that now I'm living this time where the pain is not going away and living with a certain level of misery, that I wasn't handling it as well as I had hoped. I found myself not only giving up the things that I couldn't do anymore that I hadn't so enjoyed, but I realized there were things I could still do that I was giving up on. And I lost some of my my real love for the things that I'd always loved, like reading and memorizing the scripture. And it even became hard in church to sing the songs that I still deeply believed in and meant so much to me, but they were just really hard to sing because of the pain. I found it sort of taken over my life.
And your wife, and she didn't mean this in any cynical way, you said she said this actually rather sweetly, but just said, I'm praying for God to heal you, and if he doesn't heal you, that he would take you. Talk about that, that insight and her comment and how it impacted you.
Yeah, that was a real awakening for me, because we had been talking and praying like we did most every night, and I'd asked her what she'd been praying about for me that day, and she said that she had told God if he didn't heal me, he could take me. And like I said, she meant it in a very in the best sense, but it really pointed out to me I am not the easiest person to live with. My pain is affecting her and is affecting the people who love me, and I need to learn better how to handle this, not only for my sake, but for their sake.
Here's an excerpt. You said, when you're in pain, it's a little easier to excuse your apathy and shallowness. Dealing with pain takes a fair bit of energy, so it's only natural, you tell yourself, that you have less grit and ambition for the rest of your life. And if someone challenges you and tells you that you're capable of doing more or being better, you already have a response. You don't understand. You don't know what I'm going through. How can anyone argue with that? But it doesn't have to be that way. That is so true, because it's such a fine line, because I also feel like there are people that put things on you when you're in that place that are ought to's and should do's, that are heavier weights. But it's still, there's a place, there's a narrow path through this thing where it's not about people putting a heavy weight on us. It's about us finding that space that God's inviting us to live that does involve our engagement with him. So how did you find that place?
Yeah, people, and they're trying to be very helpful, and they are being helpful when they're pointing out to us some of the things maybe that we need to do differently and so on. And we need them to point out our blind spots, to point out where it is that we're still being a pain or where we could do better. But there is also that time when we think, you just don't quite understand how much energy this is taking, how hard this is to deal with and to do the things that I used to do and that I love to do. And that's really where the grace comes in, that it's more than people's good advice, and people have all sorts of good advice to give us when we're dealing with pain. But we really need the good news of God's grace, that he's going to help us to do those things. Because people will give us advice and say, you try this and do that, and we think, I can't do it. There's just something in me that's been broken, and I'm not sure that I can do it. But I really do believe that God does give us that strength and that power with his grace to do those things that are good for us and are healthy for us.
That are good for us. Talking to Craig Selness today. Title of his book is Living with Pain Without Becoming One. John Ortberg wrote the foreword on this book. We've got 4 copies. If you or somebody you love lives with chronic pain, or you just want to know how to navigate those waters, I think it's helpful whether you're the person in pain or you love somebody who is. Really great book. Email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. And when we come back, Craig, I'd love for you to talk about this verse you referenced in the book, 1 Peter 4:19. So then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Man, I've read that before, but it jumped off the page at me today. We're going to unpack that passage when we get back. Don't go away. Back in a minute. Moments that we go through the valley and we wonder if there's an end in sight, if it always will be like that. And then the sun breaks through, right? Then you notice a special grace and a mercy. Somehow God meets us in those places and he breaks through and gets us through. And today I'm talking with Craig Selness. He wrote the book Living with Pain Without Becoming One. And especially this is for people who live with a chronic pain, physical pain. It could be emotional pain. But how do you navigate those waters so you don't get into the ditch of self-pity, or you get so self-involved that you miss all the other people that are around you? And he's saying, and I believe this and agree with this, that there's a way to navigate these waters and still have a grace and a mercy on your life. Email if you'd like in on the drawing, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put living with pain in the subject line, and please remember that mailing address. And in the book, you referenced a verse that I've read before, Craig, but it just jumped off the page at me when I was reading it in your book, 1 Peter 4:19. So then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Say more about that passage and how it's impacted you.
Right. There are 2 things about that verse that struck me. One, of course, is the first part that says those who suffer according to God's will. And just a reminder that the scriptures are pretty clear about this, that there is certain pain that we experience that God calls us to. It's not that it's a mistake that we're experiencing pain. It's not some sort of cosmic accident, but this is part of God's plan for us. And there's plenty of verses where Paul talks about this fact that all of us, as followers of Jesus, at some time or another are called to suffer. So that's part of God's plan for us, and he's got good reasons for it. And the second part of the verse, the end of the verse, is just how we should handle it. And that's, one, committing ourselves to our Creator and trusting that he is faithful, and then continuing to do good. You know, there's a time for us to focus on getting better and learning to handle our pain. But then there's a time to move beyond that and to keep doing good. We can't use our pain as an excuse for giving up on the spiritual disciplines, for forgetting about other people and not being kind, as you're talking about, to the people around us.
So, Craig, when you were in this place with your hip, I mean, you say in the book where you basically had ice packs on your hips and on your back pretty much full time. You packed yourself when you're at work. You packed yourself when you were on your easy chair, just trying to get through chronic, hard pain. When did you notice a break through the clouds for you?
Yeah, in terms of that particular pain, that took about a year and a half. And, ice had become my best friend. I even short-circuited the seat warmer in my car, putting ice on my back and on my hip there. And it took about a year and a half before I finally started to come out of that intensity of pain. I'd hoped, and my doctors had said, eventually it's all going to go away. That hasn't been the case. But I am grateful for the fact that I am able to do so much more than I did before.
Relief is a gift. I mean, there's times where, I'm very passionate about prayer and just have explored the idea of how often we pray and what we want is relief, and God wants breakthrough. You know, we want a break and he wants breakthrough. And yet, as someone who's physically suffered and been sick for a lot of time in my adult life, relief is a precious gift too. When you've suffered long, there's something about relief in itself, that people can't understand unless they've been there. Do you know what I'm saying? So to have a time of relief is a great gift, but it's not the end all, right?
No, it's not. But no, that is, one of the ways that I kind of test how well my heart is with God is just if I'm grateful for those times, if I'm attentive and conscious of the fact that God has given me a gift, that today is a really good day or this time is a really good time, for whatever reason he's just reached down and given us that relief, or he's brought somebody into my life to show me kindness and to be helpful. One of the things that I've learned through this is that God uses all sorts of people to help us, whether they're people who are followers of Jesus or not. People at the donut shop who will get me an extra donut, will help me carry the donut box out when I'm loading them up to bring to church. People who just say kind things. And those are real gifts of grace that bring relief that God uses in my life.
Well, you read a number of books on pain, and good for you, by the way, just as you dug in, trying to learn and understand.
Yeah.
And one that spoke to you is by Dr. Tim Keller. We actually just had him on a couple of weeks ago. But if you don't mind, tell the story that you share about the couple who faced their own trial. And up to this point, the husband had been very athletic. You know what story I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. Oh, yeah, that was one that really touched me because this is a man who wanted to be in the game of life, who was very active, and now he has been diagnosed with ALS, and in fact, the last as the time of Dr. Keller's book, all he was able to do was to move his eyes, and yet this is something that he wrote that really struck me. He said, "I played sports in my younger years. I always hated sitting on the bench. One day after my diagnosis, I cried out to God that I thought I was being pulled out of the game when I still had something to offer. The Lord's response was, 'You've been on the sidelines for some time. You're just now going in the game.'" And that, having been an athlete growing up, that whole sense of being in the game really resonated with me. And that was one of my loves all my life, is being physically active and playing basketball and being able to do stuff with my kids and now my grandkids. And a lot of that's been taken away from me. And so I had that same sort of feeling. I felt like I'd been taken out of the game. And yet God said, now you are in the game. You've been on the bench, and I'm putting you into something that's even more important than that.
Well, it does draw something deeper from you. And you write, "My physical limitations and pain pale in comparison to this guy's story. Frankly, though, there's no comparison. But I relate to the feeling of being benched when I still want to be in the game. And the good news is this. In a very real way, God just put me in. It's very possible that you know exactly what I'm talking about, because in the last days, months, or years, God's put you in the game, too. And I suspect the only way I'm going to do well in this game is my praying, and a prayer that will up till now has been for me a prayer less prayed, and it's this: God, make me a stronger man. Here's what I believe. He will. He will give me the strength to continue to do good even when it hurts, to be a better person even when I don't feel better. He will give me the grace to live with my pain without becoming one." And I wonder, Craig, what do you think you would be like? I'm sure you were a great guy before this all happened, but I mean, if you imagine a fork in the road and this wouldn't have happened, how different might you be compared to how you are now?
Yeah, the things that I've noticed, and that you know, people who have been close to me have noticed that that it's done to kind of grow my character, is that it certainly made me much more tender. I'm Norwegian by background, and we sort of pride ourselves on not showing a lot of emotion, and not always being the most sympathetic to other people in pain. But boy, this really tenderized my heart and made me so much more aware of people's situations. And I am able to be, I think, much more compassionate and sympathetic. You know, once you start sharing your story of pain, and we all have a story, and you start sharing it, you discover how many other people have similar experiences, or experiences that sometimes make your own pain pale by comparison. But if you're too hard to share that, or too withdrawn to share that, you never get the treasure of hearing those stories.
And if you have a gift of
definitely.
Amen. I'm sorry about that. Sorry.
Yeah. No.
I was just going to say, if you've been somebody who's had health and things have gone well, it's easy to think that life's good because I'm good. And it is amazing how wrong that is, because it's like, you know, it just takes one illness, one phone call to realize you don't have the control you think you do. So as much as we hate suffering, you're so right. It does tenderize us, but it also puts us in touch with our very real dependence. We've just got about a minute to our break. But, I mean, that's one thing I've learned, Craig, is the stuff that I've just hated that's made me dependent, I see as a protective gift in some way as well, you know?
Yeah. You know, every morning, my hardest times are still at night, and so every morning when I wake up, I'm very aware of the fact that I need God. Hmm. I need his grace and his power, because without it, the day is going to start out pretty tough again. And in a way, that's been a gift to me, to bring me back to God the first thing every morning, where his mercies are new, as he promises.
Yeah, and he's so faithful. Talking to Craig Selness today. Title of his book is Living with Pain Without Becoming One. If you've got a question, you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. If you want in on the drawing for the book, email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. See, that's pretty easy, right? More great conversation when we return. Great day today. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Craig Selness. He's a pastor and author, and he's a man who lives with chronic pain. The title of his book is Living with Pain Without Becoming One. In the book, he says, suffering doesn't give us a free pass to behave badly. Such an important note from somebody who's suffered, because truly there's times where our world gets very self-focused when we're hurting, and somehow, some way, we find God's grace, and we walk it out in such a way that even in that place, we can become a conduit of his love and his kingdom power. And in the book, you also explore two truths, Craig, that you say you actually at first weren't eager to embrace, and I don't think any of us are. One is that pain is a good and necessary gift from God, and two, sometimes the pain doesn't go away. Talk about that first one, because, man, there is so many differing views, theologically speaking, on pain, on disease, on, you know, what God allows, what God causes. So where have you landed on all of that?
Right. Yeah. Well, and the first point, that's something that I learned from Philip Yancey and Dr. Paul Brand. They wrote co-authored a book a number of years ago called The Gift of Pain. And Dr. Brand was doing research on leprosy and discovered that the main problem that they developed, the reason they would lose certain parts of their limbs and so on, is because they didn't have any feeling. They weren't able to feel pain, and so they would they might put their fingers in a fire and not pull it away because they couldn't feel the pain. And so the point of the book is just that God gives us pain as a gift, that it's a good thing that we should feel it when something's wrong. It causes us to take some action, to do something. And I think we feel the same thing psychologically, too, when we feel guilt because we've done something wrong and we feel badly about it. That tells us we need to do something about it to make things right.
And you said, you know, in that truth, as far as pain is good and necessary gift from God before the break, that your particular suffering really has tenderized you and given you compassion for others and made you sensitive to other people's stories. I just think that's so true. But the second difficult truth you talk about is sometimes it doesn't go away. That's a tough one to swallow. And you and your wife were watching a movie, I believe, I remember this right in the book, and this particular guy had just returned from the doctor. He thought he would be getting better, and the doctor said, you might not get better. And as he sobbed at the realization of it, you sobbed as well. Bring us to that place.
Yeah, and that's one of my embarrassing confessions, is that that's when I started watching Hallmark movies with my wife.
Well done.
Because we thought it was too hard to watch shows or watch events that involved pain and sadness at that time, because I was just so raw. So we thought, we'll watch Hallmark movies because we know those are always going to be happy. And all of a sudden, it caught us by surprise when there was this one moment where the doctor told the man, no, this is as good as it's going to get. And he said, you know, I can't live like that anymore. I can't live like this anymore. And I had the same sort of feeling, just that sense of despair at that particular moment that, you know, I'm not going to get any better. And if I don't get any better, I don't think I can live like this. Fortunately, you know, I did get better. There are certain things that are still not right, but I recovered from that particular low point through God's grace, of course, and through the love of my wife and the support of so many other people.
Hmm. So the idea that sometimes the pain doesn't go away, what do you say to that person, maybe who's got received that news even recently, listening, going, I really don't know what to do with that, especially, again, with this varying views of theology around suffering?
Yeah. No, it is one of the things we struggle with as Christians, because we want to believe that our God would never allow us to experience pain, or at least to continue to experience pain. But we hold to that slogan, hope, of hold on, pain ends. But the fact is that it doesn't always end. On my Twitter feed, I follow C.S. Lewis, the sayings of C.S. Lewis, and today's statement was this. He quotes from A Grief Observed, his book. We were promised sufferings, he said. They're part of the program. We're even told, blessed are they that mourn, and I accept it. I've got nothing I hadn't bargained for. Of course, it's different when the thing happens to oneself and not to others. And so it is a hard, harsh truth when we realize that the pain isn't going away. And God doesn't explain to us completely all the reasons for that. But I do believe that he tells us everything we need to know to be able to still live with pain and to still live well and to still love deeply and to experience true joy and be productive and live a meaningful life even when the pain doesn't end.
Hmm. Here's another excerpt from your book. You said, the gospel is not simply good advice on how to manage our pain. The gospel is the good news that God can and will give us the power to manage our pain well. It's not merely good advice on how to manage your life. It's the ability to manage what seems unmanageable. And even to take it, you know, a step further, it reminds us that we're not made for this world. I mean, even if the pain goes on in the land of the living, so to speak, there is a day coming when there will be no more pain, no more tears, no more of this stuff. I mean, how often did thoughts of heaven help you navigate your own journey?
Yeah, that is one of the things that I hold on to, that verse from Revelation 21:4, just the promise that there is coming that day when there will be no more pain. And you know, Paul talks about the fact, too, this is in 1 Thessalonians 1, that he says, he's talking about endurance. He says, your endurance is inspired by hope. And so I do think about that pretty much every day, that I look forward to that time when there is no more pain. As I get a little bit older and I have more and more people that I love who are now in heaven, I look forward to being with them. And those thoughts do, I think we need to hang on to them, that hope that Hebrews talks about, that's the anchor for our soul, that's able to keep us going and keep us living hopefully, even when the pain persists.
Mm. You also talk in the book about why it's important to distinguish between the pain that's self-inflicted and the pain that's not. Say more about that, if you would, Craig.
Yeah, you know, I think God wants us to understand how to think about pain. And the fact is that sometimes, pain is caused by a variety of reasons. And sometimes it's something that we've done to ourselves. And when we have done it to ourselves, when it's self-inflicted pain, that in addition to the physical pain that we might feel, we also feel guilt and shame that we have to deal with. And so in those situations, there's a different way that we need to approach it, different things that we need from God, different things maybe that we need to do in terms of making things right to the extent that we can. And then there's other times that the pain, it's something that was done to us, and we became victims of our pain. And there, the temptation, besides dealing with the hurt of it, then there's the temptation to be bitter. And then there's a different way we need to approach that, something else we need from God to help us not only with the pain, but to help us with the bitterness.
Hmm. I love this line from your book. When it comes to the messes of our own making, grace gets the last word. So even though we do need to face, if the pain we're dealing with is self-inflicted, to sort it all out, grace gets the last word. I'd love for you to say another word about that.
Yeah, you know, and I have one of my close friends, is a man named Kurt. I was just talking with him again yesterday. Kurt, he messed up his life in pretty spectacular fashion when he was younger because of alcohol and some other things, and got involved in quite a lot of crime. But, boy, God has done such a work in his life. And now he's somebody who is helping people every day through AA and through other organizations and through our church, a guy who's just very committed to the Lord and committed to helping other people. He's just a poster child for somebody who continues to do good, even though he'd made a mess of his life.
Mm. Well, in the book, you also ask the question, have you ever had a well-meaning person suggest that God purposely caused your pain as a way of disciplining you? I'll answer that. Yes, I have. How about you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I've had that, and my wife has had that same experience. And you know, we need people. Like I mentioned earlier, we all have blind spots, and we need people to help us to see whether or not God is disciplining us. But that's sometimes an unhelpful question for people to ask.
Yeah. Well, right in the thick of the suffering, too. In fact, if you don't mind, tell your wife Brenda's story, because she's T-boned. She's in an accident. Yeah. Tell us her story and just how that particular encounter worked for her.
Yeah, she was on her way to work. I just dropped the kids off at preschool, and a man ran a red light in a truck and T-boned her, and she was had a concussion. And so for about 3 years, she suffered from migraines and all sorts of other issues. And then one of our friends from church said that she wanted to talk with my wife and had something on her heart. And she just asked, you know, what is God teaching you in this? And what is he showing you that you need to change in your life? And that really wasn't a helpful thing to say at that particular time.
Wasn't she in the hospital when this happened, because she had back issues too?
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's maybe a time for somebody to help us with a blind spot, and then there's a time for us to just sit and listen and be compassionate.
Yeah. Definitely true. Well, you're pastor of care at John Ortberg's church. Have you learned about especially as a man who's suffered, and your wife has no doubt suffered, how do you even train people to do this better? Because it is amazing, when you're hurting and you're kind of crawling through the valley, those kinds of things, I think, do more harm than good. I mean, God can still use them. We can still sort them through. But it's sort of it's unnecessary fire, friendly fire that wounds us, you know?
Sure, exactly. Yeah, one of the things that I work with on our care team, when people come up for prayer and care after a service, or they need care during the week, is to remind them, you know, our job is not primarily to give advice. You might have some good advice that you want to give to the person, but our job is to listen to them and to let them talk and to hear their pain and to feel it with them, and then to give them the good news that God feels their pain too. When they're afflicted, when they're in distress, God too is distressed, Isaiah tells us, and that God is not going to abandon them. He's with them, and that God promises power to live above whatever it is that's causing them pain right then.
Mm. And it is really amazing when you are someone who follows Christ and you are in the valley of the shadow and you're suffering and you have a bent towards God, I feel like you will get there. I mean, as far as someone trying to push you there before your time, as far as once you sort it through and then you have people that are safe, those are usually the people that you sort it through with because they're not putting an agenda on you. So I don't know why that there are those who I think they want to fix it so quick, but it's premature, isn't it? I mean, it feels like it sometimes, you know?
Right, yeah, right. And then there's also the sense of and they don't maybe mean it this way, but they cause you to feel a little bit guilty, like the reason I'm suffering must be because I've done something wrong, when in most cases that's not the truth at all.
Indeed. Well, let's pause here. When we come back, I want you to talk about the question your wife asks you when she notices you're struggling. She asks you, what are you telling yourself? I want you just to talk about that and what you've learned to tell yourself, Craig, so you can navigate through some of those low times. Talking to Craig Selness, he wrote the book Living with Pain Without Becoming One. He's a pastor who serves on staff with John Ortberg, and it's a great book, especially if you've walked through chronic pain or loved someone who has. Why don't you email to get in on the drawing, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put Living with Pain in the subject line, and we will be back in a minute. You're going to be okay. If you're in that place where you feel like you're not going to be okay, that might be a song to listen to. Just one foot in front of the other. God is with you. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Craig Selness. He's a pastor and an author, and he's written the book Living with Pain Without Becoming One. And he says the message of the gospel is not to try harder. The message of the gospel is the good news that God can empower us to manage our pain with grace and dignity and hope and even joy. And Craig, you mentioned in the book that when your wife notices you're struggling, she asks you a certain question. She says, so what are you telling yourself, Craig? Talk about that question, how it first impacted you, but how you leverage it now.
Yeah. So my first response was usually to say, the typical male response, which is to say nothing, because we aren't that deep.
I'm in that box, honey, the nothing box.
Yeah. But the fact was, I mean, she was right. As we talked about it together, I was telling myself some things. She could tell just by the look on my face. I was telling myself, look, I'm not going to get better. I can't do this much longer. This isn't fair. All those sorts of things that aren't particularly helpful. But the struggle for me was then what do I tell myself, because I also know that I needed to tell myself the things that were true. And the truth was, I might not get better. You know, so far I haven't gotten better entirely. So there was some truth to that, but that's not helpful either. And so now I just do my best to remind myself of the truth of the scripture. I mean, one of my favorite verses, that has become one of my favorite verses this year, Psalm 119:75. The psalmist says, I know, Lord, that your laws are righteous and that it's in faithfulness that you've afflicted me. And so I just remind myself that God is in control of this, and God is doing this because he's faithful and because he's good, and he has good intentions for me. I remind myself that I'm loved. I remind myself that there are still things that I can do, and I try not to focus on what I am not going to be able to do today, but instead on the things that I can do today.
Well, one of the things you address in the book, Craig, also is the idea that some are in pain through no fault of their own. And, of course, yours is no fault of your own either. But there are some who are really in pain because they're on the receiving end of injustice. Speak to that, if you would.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain things where people have done harmful things to us, where it's been abusive, or whether somebody has run through a red light and crashed into you, or somebody who has a thief that's burglarized you and caused you harm. And there we have to trust that God's not surprised by that, and that God is still able to use those things that were meant by somebody for evil. God is able to use those for good, just as we learn about in the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. And then also, like I mentioned earlier, the temptation to be bitter, it often goes along with that when somebody does us harm. You mentioned Dr. Keller, and one of his quotes that I've latched onto this last year is when he says, "Worry is not believing God will get it right, and bitterness is believing God got it wrong." Hmm. And so when those bad things happen to us, I just need to trust that God didn't get it wrong, but that he's going to still be able to use this for something good.
Well, one thing that helped me a ton years ago, and I talk about it kind of often, and people have said it's been helpful to them as well, is for me making the distinction between surrendering to my circumstances versus surrendering to God in my circumstances. And when I surrender to my circumstances, it's only despair. But when I say this thing doesn't define me, this thing isn't going to keep me, hold me captive, I'm surrendering to God in it. So, Lord, have your way in me. Show me what you have. But my eye is on the horizon. I believe I passed through the valley of the shadow. I'm not living here forever. And for me, that's been really interesting. And I wonder for you, too, I've just noticed that there's always a different strategy. There's times where I feel like God's saying, get up and fight. And there's times I feel like he's saying, crawl under my wing and rest. And I think the seasons kind of lend themselves to, there's times where it's like personal responsibility, like where God is saying, I want you to reengage with me, Craig. And then there's other times where, tell me, has that been the case for you? Because it sure has been for me.
Yeah, no, there's often the case where God says, I want you to just start doing things that are healthy and doing things that you know are right, and then trust that I'm going to meet you in those things. And then there's, like you say, there's those times when God says, I just want you to enjoy being loved and cared for and knowing that I've got you, and knowing that I'm mm-hmm. with you through all this.
And no matter what, self-pity is a parasite. I mean, even though it seems like we have legitimate reason at times, it's terrible for our souls. And our boss, Dick Whitworth, he's our fearless leader. His wife, Jane, always says, don't let what you can't do keep you from what you can do. And I just love that, because I feel like when you get into self-pity, you not only look at what you can't do, you forget about what you can do. And but, man, if we can engage on the level we can, we realize our world is bigger than we think, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the lesson I've learned, I think, best just by watching other people. People like yourself who have your own stories of some really hard things that you've gone through, and seeing that lived out in the flesh the way God has come to people and given them his grace and given them the ability to endure and to continue to do good even when they've felt bad.
Hmm. Well, Craig, thank you for stewarding your story in such a way. It's not an easy one, I know, but again, I just have thoughts on heaven a lot these days, and I just think about what God has for you on the other side. As if you suffered well, and if you continue to do good and you trust the Lord, my hat is off to you. And wondering, as we get ready to wrap here, if you wouldn't mind praying for the person listening today who's in that place of chronic affliction and who needs maybe a fresh touch from God. Would you pray for that person?
Sure, absolutely. God, I do pray for each person who is experiencing this pain that just won't go away, and that is so frustrating, and that can be so consuming. I pray that you would give them hope, you would help them to feel it, that hope in their heart as well as know it in their head. I pray that your truth would become very real for them, and God, that you would be a God of encouragement, the God gives the gift of endurance, and that you give them peace. To give them also, Lord, the courage to continue to do what they know they can do, to do the things that are right, the things that you've called us to do. And as they do this, God, would you just bless them with as much joy as it can possibly contain. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our God. Amen.
Amen. Craig, thank you for joining us, and I wish you God's absolute best. Hope our paths cross again.
All right. Thanks so much, Susie. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just wanted you to end, before we wrap up here, I want you to hear a portion of the Lincoln Brewster song, because I think you might maybe need to hear it today. So let's listen in.
So hold on tight.
Hope and pray you were encouraged today, and I want to just pray for you. And as you know, if you listen often enough, I have people from different schools of thought on the whole idea of healing, of wholeness, of breakthrough, purposely, because I want you to wrestle through what does God's word say. And these are respected leaders who land in different places. I want you to think and pray and study God's word for yourself. But I do believe breakthroughs on the horizon for many who suffer long. And so, Father, I do pray for my friend listening today. I pray for breakthrough. I pray for Tom who just wrote in. I pray breakthrough, God. You are the God who heals. You're the God who restores. And would you do that for the many, many who live with chronic pain today, Lord? We love you so much, and we say thank you in your name. Amen. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. And just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Coming up next, you'll hear from my friend, national radio host, award-winning author Chris Fabry. He's got a brand new novel titled Underneath the Cloudless Sky. We're going to talk and have, oh, we always have a great conversation. So don't go away. Another great hour is up ahead next.